You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Yes! 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 Mike sure is not a loser today! Yes!
Good times never seem so good.
So good!
Look at him. He's a winner today. He is radiant. He was so scared. The Red Sox were playing the Yankees. He's been pooping himself for months, sending me screenshots of a pitch that's slightly outside to Aaron Judge in a third inning of a game against the Royals. But here he is, the thing you feared most. Take us through this experience last night. We wanted to all be watching it with you. You wouldn't let us because you're a coward. You're a coward. And I feel in leaving you alone, we should get a Red Sox game in the future. Now we have to get a playoff game because you said the only game this season that matters is the one that you won last night. That's it. Everything else can be losses.
Listen, I'm happy to give you a Red Sox game now because I don't care now. Like, they win, they beat the Rays, great. They don't, Rays are better. The Rays do everything better than the Red Sox do. The Rays sweep, that's fine. Nothing mattered except this game. So I'm happy. You can live stream me watching Cardinals Dodgers tonight. You can live stream me watching any game you want. I don't care. It was all about last night. And so that got taken care of and I'm fine for a year.
We're going to set that up, but Mike Ryan, you're not going to believe this. Mike Schur, generally a brilliant human being under every other circumstance, before the game was scared of seventh and eighth inning black magic that the Yankees have. Just absurdity. And I'm sort of saying to him, well, the randomness of baseball, you can win every three innings, you know, he's like, black magic. They've got black magic. So explain to me what the viewing experience was for you last night. Were you miserable all day, and were you still expecting to lose in the ninth inning?
By the ninth inning, no. I was still expecting to lose around the sixth, seventh, I would say. Until Verdugo's single, I was expecting to lose. After that, I was like counting outs, and I was like, okay, I think we're fine. But the interesting thing, and you mentioned this a little bit, I was listening to the local hour, that stadium, which was the reason they lost in 78 when Bucky Dent hit the home run, was the reason they won last night. Like, that Stanton hit that 150 mile an hour line drive. Like, that's a home run. No one's talking about this, but the ball Gallo hit, I think, in the ninth to right field that was caught on the warning track. That's 30 rows deep at Yankee Stadium. Like, they happened to hit the ball to the only parts of the park that would keep the ball in the park. And so it was like a reverse black magic kind of a deal where suddenly, amazingly, Fenway was a positive thing. And by the way, lest you think that I'm truly crazy, lest you think that this is only about Red Sox fans, this matters to the Yankees too. If it hadn't mattered to the Yankees, they wouldn't have brought Bucky Dent to that game the way that, like, Donald Trump brought all of Bill Clinton's accusers to the debate in 2016. Like, they care about this stuff too. And so, like, it's not just one-sided. And now the weird thing is 2004, 2018, 2020, 2021, this is 8 out of 9. 8 out of the last 9 playoff games, the Red Sox have beaten the Yankees. So things, I hesitate to say this because I'm bringing gloom and doom down onto myself, but it's almost like after 100 years of misery, it's the tides have turned. And now, like, the Yankees have lived rent-free in my head for so long, and they're still in my head, but now Now they have to pay fair market value, like they've everybody been, else.
Been in, your, they've been in your head for months and months. Now you get to feel good after just fear and cowardice and poison. Yes. It's been a misery watching you experience this baseball season the last three months.
Can we just celebrate the Stanton first inning single? I mean, Mike, sure, put us there when that happened.
When you realize that it's not a home run, and you thought when it came off the bat, here we go again. You're like,
I was like, okay, 1-0. Like literally, the moment he swings, it's 1-0. And then to hear not the ESPN crew got it super wrong. They thought it was gone. And then immediately the John Sterling call went up on Twitter. The John Sterling call is incredible. And after the Sterling call, he befuddled says, what did I do wrong?
Hold on a second, like, Mike. Sure. Thank you for asking for that right now. Here it is.
The pitch to Stanton. Drew, there it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone out of the ballpark. A Stantonian home run. Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong? He's at first base.
That's the Yankees broadcast network.
The amazing thing was that everybody was like, hey, guys, we got to get Sterling back into the ballpark. It's too hard for him to do this remotely. And then everyone else was like, he's in the ballpark. He's there. He was not remote.
I mean, he's 80-something years old, is he not? Listen to the conviction. For those of you who don't know, he also waves his arms over his head when that happens. And when he yells, Yankees win, to get the proper jiggle in his throat. And so he was really selling it and had the Stantonian line buried straight in the soul. And then you just see people jumping around the studio saying, like, I imagine they're waving their hands, and he sees a runner on first and he just looks up pathetically and is like, what did I do wrong now?
The pitch to Stanton. Drew, there it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone out of the ballpark. A Stantonian home run. Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong? Yeah. He's at first base.
Yeah, you love laughing at the Yankees. Look at you, gloating, radiant person.
I mean, it's the best. The best part of this is not just that sort of thing. The best part of every Yankee elimination day is then reading the New York tabloids. Like that, it's the best part of my year is going to the New York Daily News and the New York Post, and like New York Post, you are a terrible rag. You're a miserable wing of the Murdoch Empire, spreading disinformation and pain and suffering and fear throughout the contiguous 48 United States. But I love you on Yankee Elimination Day, man. Because no one is harder on the Yankees than the New York Post and the Daily News. And I just read every article. I mean, I stayed up until like 2 a.m. yesterday, just like happily scrolling through every corner of the internet I could find.
Just grinning.
People come talking about Garrett Cole pitching 2 innings. Oh, just the best.
Do you sleep with a smile on your face? Does your wife ever see you happy, or do you even sleep? Are you just laying there smiling?
I stay up late and then I dream the dreams of angels, Dan. It's a glorious, I wake up and it's like there's cartoon birds helping me get dressed. and I prance down the stairs and I'm never in a better mood.
He really is
greatest
glowing.
Day of the year.
Look at him. He's glowing today.
Yes.
I've never seen him look healthier, younger, happier. And it's so baseball because Eovaldi, like you couldn't have had any confidence about Eovaldi.
No, see, that's where you're wrong. That he did get lit up the last time he pitched against the Yankees in September. But that guy, I think, was first in the league in F4 for pitchers this year. He had an incredibly good year. He's a very good pitcher, also former Yankee, which makes it even better, and former Marlin. But that guy has been really good all year. Everybody thought it was a mistake when Dombrowski signed them to a huge deal after the 2018 World Series, but he is absolutely worth the money that the Red Sox are paying him. And he was the best and maybe only chance that we had to win that one game. He's a hero. Look at his postseason. His postseason numbers are incredible. Like he really is a big game pitcher. And he came up huge. I was scared. Mike Ryan sent me a missive, by the way, a text when they pulled him after 71 pitches saying, I hate this decision. And of course, I responded that I hated it too, because I hate everything when I'm watching Red Sox Yankees playoff games. But that it was Alex Cora is not a terrible manager. Alex Cora is a great manager. And I know he's problematic in a bunch of different ways, but like he pulls all the right strings. He does a great job managing that team. That team has no business being in the second round of the playoffs, and it's largely because of him.
Phil Nevin, third base coach.
So Yeah. So, well, here's the okay. Two things. First of all, I know I'm late to the Phil Nevin talk. I crunched the numbers. If you want the actual report on Phil Nevin's career, if you crunch the numbers, he was actually pretty good. That's the actual amount.
So right between
okay good and great. Yeah.
Okay. So what was your initial opinion before crunching the numbers? What did your eyes tell you?
So everybody's talking about the call to send Judge, right? Here's the thing. As your friend Tim Kirchner has pointed out, Joey Gallo, who was on deck, has two sacrifice flies in 2,400 at-bats. Two. So if you're Phil Nevin and you have, you were like, it's going to be second and third, one out, and Joey Gallo's coming out. Right. The most likely event is striking out. He's not going to hit a sac fly. And so you send him. Like, he, that's not a bad idea. Like, they had, he made the Red Sox execute a perfect relay, and they got him by 10 feet. But, like, it's not crazy for him to send him there because Joey Gallo can't put the ball in play. And I don't know. I've never thought about Phil Nevin for one second. Now I love him. Now I hope they keep him at third as a third base coach forever. But that was not necessarily a bad decision. Now I will say that the Yankees ran into more outs at home plate and on the bases than I think any other AL team. At least home plate, they made like 22 outs at home over the course of the year. So maybe Phil Nevin stinks as a third base coach after a pretty good MLB career. But the Yankees were terrible base running all the year. Like, it's, they have a lot of weaknesses on that team, even though I would never have admitted that before last night. And one of them is base running. They're a terrible base running team. They run into outs all the time. Stanton on both balls, the one in the first and the single where Judge was thrown out, Stanton admired his work for a very long time before starting to run to first base. And that guy is already the slowest runner on the team. Like, they're not a good base running team, and they suffered for it last night.
What are the other baseball dork things that you found interesting about last night's game? Just the stuff that you, when you're reading, you're consuming everything. We are giving people right here 15 minutes of Red Sox-Yankees baseball as if it was 1978. They trotted out Jerry. It was middle infielder against middle infielder from the 70s. Jerry Remy versus Bucky Dent. It felt like an old school 1980s. This was your childhood playing out right there.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I thought, first of all, they should play in the playoffs every year, even though it'll make me miserable if they do that, because you're right when you said in the local hour the vibe in that park was amazing. Like, it is the moment. Baseball, I know a lot of people think baseball is boring. I obviously don't. Baseball in October is great. Like, the sound in the stadium, the intensity, the roaring, the vibe in Fenway was incredible. That was great. Also, there were a million storylines that are super dorky. Like, for example, Garrett Whitlock, who's been the Red Sox best reliever all year, was a Rule 5 draft choice from the Yankees. They stole him from the Yankees, which is just fantastic. I mean, that never happens. It never goes that way. It's always the Babe Ruth way, where guys leave the Red Sox, go to the Yankees, and then are great, or go from other teams to the Yankees. But the Yankees basically have a one-dimensional team, if that. And it is the old saw is really true. When you get to the playoffs, you can't win one dimensionally. Like, they are not a good base running team. They were not very patient at the plate last night, the way that they almost always are patient. The Red Sox just were better than they were. They hit Cole's mistakes when he made them. The Yankees did not hit Evaldi's mistakes when he made them. And the Red Sox bullpen, which has been terrible or middling all year, or at least inconsistent, I guess you would say, somehow got like 13 outs or whatever it was. And that's the difference. And it's one game. And now the Yankees have to go home, and I get to read Mike Vaccaro talking about their miserable offseason for the next like 4 months. Couldn't have worked out better.
The Garrett Cole thing, $325 million pitcher, yeah, or whatever it is. Oh, look at him. He wants to get in here right now. Go ahead. The floor's yours. The floor's yours, Radiating Man. Go ahead. Give me all the analysis you've got on Garrett Cole, big game pitcher.
He's probably going to win the Cy Young this year. He probably deserves it. But it is so great when that guy, they got that guy for that game. And it's so great when the Yankees get that guy for that game, and then that guy just falls to pieces. It's just the best. And by the way, at the deadline, they got Cole, they got Rizzo, and they got Gallo, right? So they get Rizzo and they get Gallo. And Rizzo was a good pickup. He homered last night, and he was the only guy who was doing anything offensively for them at the beginning. But Gallo was the reason that Judge got thrown out at the plate. And Gallo came up in key spots and was supposed to protect Stanton and Judge as a lefty, and he couldn't do it. He, like, And it's not fair. Obviously, it's not fair to judge Gerrit Cole or Joey Gallo or anybody on one game. But it is so funny to me that they spent so much money. They traded 11 guys to get two left-handed hitters. And now they won zero playoff games. Like, they won as many playoff games this year as the Marlins did. And it just, the whole thing is hilarious. I just love it. It's going to keep me buoyant all the way through the moment that the Heat sweep the Celtics in the playoffs next May.
All right. So we're going to check in with you. We're going to do a live watch party at some point here, second screen experience. But I just don't want people to lose sight and him to lose sight because he's out here all woke and stuff, lecturing people about the pandemic and all the things that they can do to be better at life. I just want it known that all of a sudden, conveniently, oh, look, Mike Scher is all about running on a platform of that wall. Now he wants that wall. He's all about the wall all of a sudden. Look at him. All it took is screaming line drives from Stanton being kept in your ballpark. And now look at you. You want the wall to separate people.
That's right. This wall I'm 100% in favor of. I've always loved this wall. I have no problem separating Fenway Park from the Mass Pike.
We will check in with you. Very excited. And also should probably tell people, are we telling people your podcast is coming over? Your baseball podcast with Poznanski is coming over. So we're going to be teaming up on some of this stuff. And it's not just baseball. I called it a baseball podcast, but that's ridiculous. I can't wait to read Joe Poznanski's book. That one's going to be special, right? It's going to be about life, not baseball.
It's a great book. It's 100. It's called The Baseball 100. It's for sale now, and it's a wonderful book. He writes long essays about the 100 greatest baseball players of all time. It's really great. I highly recommend it. And yes, we do a podcast that's nominally about baseball, but it's also about the Cleveland Browns and fruit and the Yankees and whatever it is that we feel about talking about that day. And it's coming to Meadowlark Media in a disastrous decision for Meadowlark Media. It will be hosted by your company starting very soon.
Tell the people what the podcast is just so that they know they can download it now before it gets over to Levitard and Friends.
It's really just me and Joe Poznanski and occasionally some guests like Nick Offerman and Jason Kander and Ellen Adair and whoever we feel like having on. And it's largely about baseball, but we also talk about whatever sport is happening, basketball, football, whatever. And then we talk about a lot of other nonsense and just meander around and mill around our microphones for an hour to an hour and a half. And we're actually going to the Baseball Hall of Fame this weekend. We're going to record a podcast there live. We hope that will be the first one that we put up on Meadowlark. But either way, within the next very few days or weeks, it'll be available on Meadowlark and on Levitard and Friends, and I hope you tune in because it's great and pointless.
Podcast, correct? That's what it's called?
Podcast, yes. The podcast, yes.
P-O-S cast.
Well, we're debating changing it to P-O-Z-C-A-S-T. I don't know. There might be a rebranding. All right,
maybe we need a rebranding.
I listened to maybe the With Stugatz thing will hit us too, and we'll keep it the same.
You know, he says since the Red Sox won last night, he's good for the rest of the playoffs. I don't believe him. I think that as soon as they get in another series, he's going to be a broken man.
Try me, buddy. Try me. Check in with me when the Rays are up 2-0, 11-0 in the eighth and see if I give a crap.
We will. Thank you, Mike. And we were happy for you. As a show, we were happy.
Thank you.
All of this suffering of losing one of the last 9 playoff games to the Yankees, it must have been so hard for you, asshole.
Yeah.